Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Conference tournaments are tipping off, bubble teams are making their final push, while the top seeds are preparing for what they hope is a long run. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog and win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Pick one of many select college basketball underdogs for your shot at winning $256, and all it takes is a $4 bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Ross Tucker. That means it's time to ask Ross. Before we get started, Ross, in the last segment, we mentioned Zach Kuntz, who entered the transfer portal. In between segments, I looked it up. At least so far, there's no announcement of where he's going to end up. So we'll have to stay tuned on that. All right, you ready to answer questions?
I am. I love this. Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Rich from Bakersfield, California. Ross, why do you think Michael Mennett is not seen as a projected draft pick and the number 10 center? Was it because the offensive line this past year was less than average against quality opponents, or are his measurables not impressive enough to be a middle round draft pick?
So that's interesting, because I saw where Mel Kiper said he's third or fourth round pick. I saw where Dane Brugler, a guy I really respect, had Michael as the fifth ranked center. So I think he is going to get drafted. I guess I don't agree with the premise of the question, Jim. I think he is going to get drafted. Now, the two things I would say about Michael, and you know, I've known him since ninth grade. He's from Reading, where I'm from. He is a tremendous athlete. So I remember the Penn State coaches telling me how unbelievable he was in the short shuttle drill. I remember watching him, highlights of him, Jim, dunking in high school basketball games. If you're an offensive line recruit prospect, and you're dunking in high school basketball games, that is really impressive. Really impressive. So I think what's working against him, I don't know that coming back really helped him. You know, I don't know if he got banged up at all, but I don't know that he played any better in 2020 than he did in 2019. I don't know if he would have been better off leaving early or not. Obviously, there's so many factors with the pandemic and everything. And the other concern for Michael Mennett would be, even though he played some guard earlier in his career, I think that some of these NFL teams might be skeptical as to whether or not he'll be able to play multiple positions. And it's really hard in the NFL to only play center or only play guard. And that is because teams typically only suit up seven, maybe eight guys now, at least during the pandemic year, along the offensive line. So every game I suited up in, Jim, that I can recall, if I wasn't starting, I was the next guy to go in at center and both guards. And I think the concern might be that whether or not Michael is big enough to be able to go in at guard, and whether or not he's a center only. And if you're center only, then you don't have as much position versatility, and you really got to be the starter. Otherwise, you're not providing a ton of value because you can only back up one spot.
I think you may have just answered my question. I was going to ask what the difference was. If you have skills to play center, would you not have the skills to play guard? But it sounds like what you're saying is the difference is you need to be bigger to be a guard.
I think you need to be a little thicker and more powerful to play guard. You can get by being 6'3", 6'4", 305 at center. At guard, if you have shorter arms and you're it just becomes tougher. I think he could be serviceable at guard, but probably not a guy that you'd want starting games at guard. Although, you know, Jim, I don't know that any team ever really wanted me to start games. I started 25 of them, and if I didn't have the back surgery, I probably would have started a bunch more of them. You know, it's like I was never the guy based on one-on-ones in practice that the teams wanted to be the starter. But then either a guy would get hurt or play poorly, they'd put me in, and then they'd be like, oh, you know what? Our offense is better when he's out there. Let's keep him out there. So I don't know. Sometimes I think that stuff is a little bit overrated.
Well, that also must mean, Ross, that you're a gamer, like Allen Iverson. You didn't do it on the practice field, but when it counted.
The thing I would say about that is, you know, they count, they put so much value on one-on-ones, which is one offensive lineman against one defensive lineman in pass protection. And that is a good indicator of natural ability and pass pro. But the games aren't like that. When you're actually out there in the game, they don't know what to pass. You're usually not one-on-one. Even if you are, there's a game situation to be accounted for. I guess I have just found that the games just aren't like that. And I think sometimes the front office certainly loses sight of that.
I would also think, Ross, we often talk about you don't hear about an offensive lineman unless he makes a mistake. But when I watch the offensive line, it's not usually that, oh, they made a great play. It's did they avoid making the dumb mistake where it seems like they either totally whiff or there's miscommunication. So I would think, and, you know, we've often talked, you're an Ivy League guy, you're a bright guy. I would think were the type of player who didn't overwhelm people, but also come game time, you weren't going to make the stupid mistake.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. That was my thing, is I was not going to make any mental errors or have any effort issues. And mental errors really get you beat at the NFL. And it's a lot more complicated than people realize. Like, things happen so fast. And if you're not on it, Jim, you don't block the right guy, he is sacking the quarterback. Quarterback's probably hurt, probably a strip sack. You probably lose the game. You're probably getting fired. A lot of probabilities.
And we're talking literally like in seconds, in 2 seconds, they're in on your quarterback. All right, let's get to another question, Ross. Let's go with Steve from Chicago, who says, Ross, I saw an article this week saying they replaced Ty Howell's analyst position with someone with NFL experience. What do analyst positions do all year, and how do they help the team? And are they allowed at practice and on sidelines during the game?
Really good question. And I will say that I don't know that I'm as up on these analyst positions, Jim, as maybe I should be. My understanding is analysts can't go on the road recruiting, right? I don't know how limited they are in what they can do recruiting. Well, I can say this. I think they can do a lot of recruiting from campus. And sometimes the analyst positions will be a young guy, Jim, whose main job is recruiting stuff. And they're doing a lot of recruiting, primarily like the behind-the-scenes, social media reach out, DMs, emails, text messages, those type of things. Then you've got like Alabama or Michigan, where it seems like they're always hiring these former head coaches as analysts. Those guys are really more coming in and almost being consultants for what the team is actually doing on the field. So that's a little bit different. You can either have an old guy, and a lot of times those old guys, like the head coach types, they're still getting paid by their old school. So you can get them to go to Alabama or somewhere on the cheap, real cheap. And then they just want to be around. They just want to keep their name associated with a good program like Alabama. I mean, how many guys have done that, Jim? Like the Bielemas and the Jones, the former Tennessee coach. You know, there's so many guys like that. And so you can really use those analyst positions for either one. It seems like Penn State's been more on the young side, but they've had some other older guys come in and take a look at things as well.
Right. I was just looking it up, things that they're allowed to do. What they're not allowed to do is instruct players, and they're not permitted to recruit. Those are the things that analysts are restricted from.
So say it again?
They're not allowed to instruct players directly, and they're not allowed to recruit.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on how you define recruit. they're not allowed to go on the road recruiting.
I think that is what it means.
I think that they're probably doing some stuff back on campus.
Because you have our people on the staff at Penn State who we know, they're called recruiting analysts and recruiting coordinators, but they're not a member of the 10-man coaching staff. Ross, David from Lancaster says, what is the season like for a player redshirting? Do they have a different schedule, lift more often, or anything different from the other players?
I think everything is almost identical. What the difference is, you're probably not traveling to away games. That's one. And as a result, they might have you get in one more workout. You might do extra stuff, a little extra stuff after practice. You might have a more intense workout the day before the game, whether that's on field or in the weight room. But that's about it. And it's very similar to guys that are on practice squad in the NFL. But even in college, even if you're redshirting, you're still there for the home games. You're just not going to get in the game.
Well, I imagine it's also changed a little bit with the change in the rule that allows a player to play in four games and still redshirt.
Correct. That's a good point, too. I think now a lot of these guys, you almost don't know you're going to redshirt, Jim, until the season's over at this point. You know, like you never really – I mean, you probably get an idea, but you don't really know until the season's just about over – because they could use you, an injury here or something there. I don't think they tell many guys up front start of the year, hey, you're definitely redshirting.
Definitely an injury can change all of that. All right, that is it. We'll name our winner next quarter of the KSN polo shirt. We'll select the best question. But right now, that's it for quarter number three. And Ross, in quarter number four, we get Andy and Bob back, so stay tuned.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the college basketball action. Bet $4 on an underdog in select college basketball games, and if they win, you collect $256. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.